What a joy it is to kind of bring you this message as we continue with our series, My Friend Jesus. Yes, He is the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God, Emmanuel, God with us, Lord, Savior, Alpha and Omega, Good Shepherd, and Messiah. Wow! He is also your ever-present friend. I think one of the most enduring of all the Charles Dickens characters is Mark Tapley, a young man with courage and cheerfulness, but he's worried that he is cheerful only because of his circumstances are good. Would his cheerfulness survive in bad circumstances? Well, I think we ought to try to find out. At least we want to find out, don't we? Well, Mark applied to be a grave digger, but they didn't need him. As the story unfolds, Mark encounters danger and discomfort on a trip through America, yet his courage and his cheerfulness wavered only a little bit. He managed to come out strong under the circumstances. His strong disposition sustained him and also reinforced the courage of other people. Now, I find it interesting that Dickens chose the place, Mark Tapley in America, to test his courage. But I think I get it, because right now the conditions of America is testing our courage too. Amen? Well, when you need a surge of fresh courage, don't open Dickens and read his book. No, open the Bible. Now, I want to do that now, and I want to look at one of the most familiar stories in all the scriptures, the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. Now, I've been there many times, and it is still a bedraggled, dusty place. It's the loneliest and also the loveliest places in Bethlehem are the shepherds out in the fields on the outskirts of town. These sloping meadows with rocky patches and ancient caves, they're still there, and much of the area is just like it was in the first century. Now, I had read our scripture text, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, but I want to pick up the story in Luke 2, 8, and 9. Hear God's word. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, the sudden appearance of angels, I think, would frighten most of us, and it did frighten the heroes of the Bible. But on this occasion, the angel's arrival was accompanied by the glory of the Lord, that blazing light that had filled the tabernacle and the temple, which would later appear on the Mount of Transfiguration. Even today, the fields outside of Bethlehem can be dark and spooky at night. In biblical time, there was no electricity. Certainly, there was nothing to provide light except perhaps a little fire blazing nearby. And on the night of nights, the entire area around the shepherds lit up like a football field. And a flashing angel hovered before them. Oh, the first four words spoken by this messenger are what I want us to notice in verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Now, sometimes I think we need to imagine hearing those words spoken aloud and coming to us from heaven. Christians in our culture are often badgered, and we've been daunted by the devil a lot. There's frightening things happening all around us, aren't there? These people who want strong arm us into silence. It can be threatening out there in this old world, but I love the buts and the ifs, as you know. But heaven comes into the darkness, and the angels show up, and the Lord says, familiar phrase, "Do not be afraid." Now, I think there's a reason for this. Your friend, Jesus, is here. The angel continued in verses 10 and 11, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, the shepherds didn't question the angels. No, they didn't go back into their nightly duty or stay frozen in fear. No, instead they said one to another in verse 15, "Hey, guys, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord had told us about." Now, I want us to realize at the core of my being and hope, at the core of your being, that He is with you and me, and we don't have to be afraid. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 23, we see the Lord affirm this truth about Jesus through the prophet Isaiah. It says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. What a wonderful blessing to know that God loved us so much that He wanted to be with us. God's with us? Yeah, when Jesus is here, fear has to go. Anxiety is replaced by the good news because Jesus is present in our lives. Now, why do you have to fear if you're standing close to Jesus? Yeah. Storms? I don't think so. Roman soldiers? Yeah, not so much. Sickness? No. Now, sickness is not really a problem when Jesus is near. Not enough of food? No, I think He's got that covered too. Well, what about bad news? Well, He addressed that too in Psalm 112, verse 7. And He says of God's children, they will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. So, what is it? Nothing. You don't have to be afraid at all in this thing called life. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verses 5 and 6, "The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything." So on the night of Jesus' arrival into time, the angel went on to explain to the shepherds. And starting at verse 11, he said, "Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find Him wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to those who has favor rest." What wonderful, wonderful news! Heaven was bursting open. The shepherds lived in difficult times. They had watched humanity suffer. And they were victimized and diminished and berated and belittled, attacked and destroyed. The wickedness of old King Herod lived in the vicinity, but an angelic choir of thousands of voices told them to give glory to God because Jesus was here now. And He had already arrived, right on schedule. You know, Jesus always right on time. He wasn't far from them. And they would be in His presence in less than an hour. Do you think they might have hurried to get there? I'm pretty sure of it. And I want you to know that Jesus is here now. He is near. And you don't have to be afraid anymore. This is the good news for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we'll just embrace it like the shepherds did. Jesus is here. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Not in pandemics, hallelujah. Not in elections, praise be to God. Not in the cultural shifts, no. Not amid persecution. Not in times like we're living in today. Knowing Him and drawing close to Him gives us a surge of courage that we need to stand in our faith. And as we stand in our faith, we provide a powerful testimony that can set others free. It's an encourage one another with the good news. One of my favorite passages, we've been studying the Psalms in the Word is the Way to Life broadcast. And one of the Psalms that I always liked was Psalm 46. I want to share it with you. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. Through the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and mountains quake with their surging, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar and kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts, and the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 7. Now think about it. Jesus won't forsake us through a supply chain of interruptions. No, he won't forsake us through knuckleheads who sprout foolish arguments in public forums and debates and whatever. No, he won't leave us on the tough days. He's here to stay. He is our ever-present friend, Jesus. And like Mark Tapley, as I mentioned in Dickens' story, we can be cheerful in times good and bad, no matter where we are. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful blessing. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And a little preview of next week's message about your friend, your majestic friend. Now, I also know that in certain occasions in life, it calls for protocol and dignity and majesty. Weddings, for an example. And it's true, some people get married in very casual settings, like, you know, going to the courthouse steps and all that. But many couples want to have that full experience, you know, with the white wedding dress, hand-selected music, and a reverent ceremony. Military observers demand a sense of decorum also, and the inaugurations of leaders have suitable formalities. If you go into a Capitol building or a courtroom or massive cathedral, and you'll notice how the architects built a sense of grandeur in their designs. Wow. Dr. A.W. Tozer began a classic book, The Knowledge of the Holy, by warning Christians that many of us has relinquished our concept of the majesty of God. Tozer wrote this in a book. He said, with our loss of sense of majesty has come the further loss of religious awe and consciousness of the divine presence. I think, too, you might be right, that we a little bit have lost our spirit and worship and our ability to withdraw inwardly to meet God in adoring silence. Praise be to God. Well, we're going to look further about our friend Jesus. And if you've never invited this wonderful friend into your life, I pray that you take time to do it. Or you say, well, I've been thinking about it, and I'll get around to it one day or another. No, your eternity depends upon it. To develop that relationship with God, manifested in the flesh, who dwelt here with us. And when he said when he went to be with the Father, he was going to send one greater than him, the Holy Spirit. So when you invite Jesus into your life, you don't get him in pieces. No, you get God the Father, praise be to God, God the Son, your wonderful friend, and more importantly, his Holy Spirit that ministers to you 24/7. Wow, what a wonderful thing. It's a simple prayer for simple people. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior. And if you're everything that they say that about you, then I want to have that wonderful friend Jesus in my life too. Come into my life and be Lord over it and help me do this thing. Oh, it's one day, 24 hours, a long time. So I need your help momently. And momently you will get it. And Christ will be your best friend forever and ever. In Jesus' precious name.